Amen. While you're standing, put your songbooks up, take your Bibles, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 12 to 17. I'll read verse 12. You read verse 13 with me. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for again for your precious, pure words. I pray that, Lord, you'd help us this morning. Please strengthen us, help us, exhort us, and Lord, help us to, Lord, draw closer to you and, Lord, further from the world so we can see what you want in our lives and we can do it. Thank you for your precious love. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. And here you have the 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Paul in the next chapter is saying, I'm ready to depart. He's getting ready to get his head cut off. And it's so interesting in the New Testament, no Christian ever prayed, dear God, deliver me and help. Nothing bad ever happened to me. I'm all for praying when you get in your car, Lord, give us safety. Help me as I drive. I do that. My wife does it. And I'm for that. But you never find a prayer in the New Testament where the Christians are like, oh God, please don't let anything bad ever happen to me. Don't let me suffer. And we live in a day and age where it's a weak Christianity that says, I'll follow the Lord, but if things get bad, I quit. And that's what we call, you know, American Christianity, and it's in it until it gets hard. And I thought this was interesting. God says here, Jesus didn't promise that we would not suffer. I'll show you that here in just a second. The whole chapter says, the first part, verse number one says, what? The Spirit speaketh expressly, right? No, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We hit that in Sunday school. The word perilous means stress-filled. It means compressed. It means these are days of a lot of pressure. A lot of people are experiencing things in our society and the world because the world is so globally tied together. It didn't used to be that way. But with the internet and everything, everything's becoming global and we're getting ready we're watching the platform be laid for the Antichrist. Amen. And so God says in the last days, perilous or hazardous or dangerous or stressful times are going to come. And then he gives you 13 traits. And look at the first trait of it. It says here, it says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know how come people don't, they say church attendance in America is decreasing. And it is. I think God's still saving souls. Amen. But do you know why church attendance is decreasing? Because men are lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own. They do what they want to do. Right? Look at the next. Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, watch, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. God is okay as long as he doesn't get in my way. God's fine as long as he doesn't affect my lifestyle. And he says, as we get closer to Jesus coming, you're going to see more and more of this in people. It's going to get darker. It's going to get more selfish. It's going to get bloodier before Jesus comes. That's why when you hit verse 11, it says what? It says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you live for the Lord, God didn't promise you a convenient, easy, accessible Christianity. He said, if you live for God, you will somehow suffer persecution. Somebody said, well, you need to separate from the wrong crowd. All you need to do is focus your eyes on the Lord, and those who don't love Jesus will run from you. All you have to do is love the Bible, love God, and it will repel, right? If you live godly, you will suffer persecution. Jesus did not promise me a life of ease. He didn't say I would never hurt if I trust him as my Savior. That's important. Okay, watch this. The next verse says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That means the religious deception and what calls itself Christianity is going to get more deceptive. What calls it? Okay, hey, let me use an example. Ready? I was at a family meeting, and one of my family members, this was a couple of months ago, said, oh, our daughter, and she's a precious girl. She's my second cousin, and I love my family. And she's running around the living room, and the dad says, oh, she loves Taylor Swift. She's so excited about being a Swiftie. I'd never heard that stupid term, okay? All right, and if you're a Taylor Swift fan, just sit there and smile for a minute, okay? Just pretend like nothing's wrong because it's about to get worse. This is a six-year-old girl that's longing to be like Taylor Swift. And another one of my family members said, ooh, that's dark. And he goes, really? The dad goes, really? Taylor Swift? And I said, yeah. She announced she's a witch. Her concerts indoctrinate for Satanism. And he goes, oh, I was at least glad he responded that way. Because I thought, this is either going to get really good or really bad. Taylor Swift, how dare you talk? She's a practicing witch. But boy, doesn't she have the little girls following her. During babies. Really? That's a nasty Christian, if that's what Christianity is. Yet everybody understand the deception of what calls itself Christian is going to get darker. Evil men and seducers, people who draw crowds after them, are going to get worse and worse. That's what Jesus said. That lets me know, here we go, I'm so glad when God tells us these things. Verse 14 has the answer. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So what are we supposed to do? Just keep going to church, keep winning souls, keep your eyes on the Bible, keep doing what you've been taught is right. That won't change, but the deception is going to increase. Continue in the things which thou hast learned. You're there in 2 Timothy. Go back a couple of books to Philippians, and let me just show you a neat verse. Brother Grady quoted this when he was here with us, and I just want to draw your attention to it because it falls in line with this morning. I'll give you the title of my sermon here this morning in just a minute. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So when you believe on Jesus, that's what gives you eternal life. Believing on Jesus Christ. But God says, you've not only been chosen to trust Jesus as your Savior, you have to do that or you die and go to hell. Once you get saved, God says, you've also been called, talking to me and you, to suffer. Suffer. Pain, affliction, hard times. God says, if you've believed on Jesus, hard times. In other words, you should expect, that's why God says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try. Don't think it weird. Well, I got saved. How come I'm suffering this way? Because you've been called to believe on Jesus and to suffer for his sake. The name of my sermon this morning is How to Become a Spiritual Prepper. Amen. I think you'll enjoy this, but how to become a spiritual prepper since we're in times that are going to get worse. And if you knew that and God says it, then that's to me God saying, hey, the sea's getting ready to get rough. Tie yourself down. Prepare yourself, right? Get ready to endure hardness so we don't quit when the going gets tough, right? So when it's not easy to be a Christian anymore, you say, how are you sure? The Bloomberg Report, which is a pretty big financial paper, and I know you can get it online, they made a statement 2 weeks ago. With the next pandemic that's coming out, hard times are coming for Christians. Let me just go into that just for a second. In the first pandemic, we had to figure out we were being lied to. Okay? Took a couple of weeks. We didn't have church. We shut down. But the next pandemic, which is coming, it's probably going to be bird flu, which is just absolutely cuckoo to me. You know, bird flu is spreading to cattle. Did you know all the flus we get originate with birds and swine? That's why I go, oh, what are we going to do? I don't know. Take some vitamin C. You'll be okay. And thus far, nobody's died from bird flu. And there were only 2 cases of it, right? Well, now there's 9. I know. It's the flu. Okay. But anyways, anything they can to manipulate fear. Well, how come I'm telling you that? The first pandemic was a test. There's a reason those who went to Washington, D.C. on January 6th were put in jail. The SWAT teams were raiding their homes across the country the next day. Do you know why? The phone. If you have a phone, this tracks everywhere you go. Now, if you don't want to be tracked, leave it at home. That's how come they could get the January 6th people who, by the way, are still in jail. Trump said he's going to pardon them if he's elected. I think that's great. I'm amazed that they can be in jail that long. But anyways, how'd they do that? They found them with their phone. Everywhere you go, if you got enough money, you can find out, you can pay, and you have an address on your phone that pings, and anybody can find out everywhere you've taken your phone, how long you were there. If you got it in church with you today, it's on the map. How long you're in church. If you've not seen the movie 2000 Mules, you need to, okay? It'll show you what they can do with phones. Oh, they're not tracking us. If you need to believe that to sleep at night, keep doing that. It ain't true. This listens to everything. It tracks everywhere you go if you take it with you. You say, where's that headed with the pandemic? Before, remember when we were in the parking lot, those of you that were with us, remember we were in the parking lot, and what we were doing? We were watching the road for state troopers, right? And 2 times, a state trooper never came up the driveway because they were shutting down churches and saying, you got to shut down because the governor, blah, 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 blah. Okay, all this stuff. A state trooper twice parked at the end of our driveway but never came up. It won't happen the next pandemic. When they shut down churches, they'll know where everybody is. And if you're in church and you're violating it, it's going to get harder. I'm just telling you. They don't even, they just come to your door. Did you violate, you know, you were here and this? Well, yeah. And you go to jail. It's going to get harder. Okay? It's a war against Christianity is what it is. How come they can keep, you've heard this, how come they can keep tattoo parlors and abortion clinics open, but they shut down churches? That was of the devil. Amen? But churches aren't essential, but abortion clinics are. That's garbage. Amen? So I just said that to say, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Whatever's happened in the past is going to increase. And if you don't think this many illegal aliens coming across the border is going to cause problems in America, General Flynn said there's 7 divisions of Chinese, 7 divisions of military here. They're waiting for one phone call. I'm not trying to scare you this morning as much as I'm trying to say there's an America I'm used to and there's the America we're living in now. It's different. And some can live in denial in such a degree. Well, I just want things to be normal again. Okay, who doesn't? Why don't you face reality and say, okay, America's changing. America is. So what can we do? Go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2. Look what Jesus told the church at Smyrna, named after the anointing ointment that they put on bodies when they died, myrrh, Smyrna. And Smyrna is the persecuted church. And so Jesus tells the church at Smyrna, look at verse 10, says here, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He said, you're going to suffer. He said, don't fear any of it. Read the rest of the verse. It says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There's a lot of wonderful lessons you can learn there. But this morning, I wanted to, in trying to help with a, what can we do to prepare? I think the first thing God tells us not to do is fear. God reminds you it's your job not to fear. It's the number one commandment God tells us to do in the Bible. Fear thou not. Over 360 times, God tells you, don't you allow yourself to fear. Why? They're starting to do studies. Fear destroys the mind. It breaks the mind down. That's why if they can keep the society in a state of fear, it's easier to steer them. There should be nothing that causes you fear. God said, do not allow yourself to fear anything. Well, what if they do this? I'm all for preparing. And let me go to physical preparation, and I'll go to spiritual preparation. I think they say the average American has 3 days' meals in their house, and society is 9 meals away from collapse. So it would take about 3 days, if anything happened, for society to really, in some cases, it's been only 24 hours. You say, why are you saying that? My wife and I, we started raising chickens during COVID. I said, I don't think this is going to end well. So we're chicken farmers now. Amen. And we are pets. They poop us breakfast. Amen. So that was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. That's eggs. Amen. Okay. I said that to say we've been learning a whole lot of things since COVID. But I'm not told anywhere in the Bible to do things for self-preservation. I think if you can't see what's coming, I think you need to open your eyes a little bit. Shortages are getting worse. I think there's some things coming that you could prepare for to maintain normalcy for your family and people that you love, okay? We aren't supposed to leave society and protect ourselves. Somebody said, they told me a story of their family member that's a pastor, and that pastor, he said, they just lived in the negative till finally they went to their house, shut themselves in, and that's where they both died. They separated themselves. We're not supposed to do that. Jesus didn't do that. The apostles didn't do that. No matter, and watch this, the Roman Empire was pretty bloody and barbaric, okay? I mean, they threw Christians to lions. They burned people alive. It got pretty rough. But none of them hid. None of them ran to their church or their house and shut themselves off from society. I don't find anywhere we're supposed to do that. The whole idea towards, as a saved child of God, I've been put here to serve God. And does God not know where we're at? Does God not know where you are? When the Titanic went down, April 14th at 11:40 at night, they said the ship that was unsinkable leaves from England and is going across the Atlantic. And at 11:40 at night, it hit that iceberg. And by 2:40, it was underwater. So in 3 hours, it took to sink. A man named John Harper, called the hero of the Titanic. Here was his attitude towards death. He was going back on the, he had a life jacket on, and he took his daughter. His wife had already passed, and she was not on the trip. And D.L. Moody had invited him as a preacher to come to America and to preach and to take a church. So he and his daughter get on the Titanic. The ship hits the iceberg, water starts coming on. They didn't even know water was coming on. Everybody was partying so much. Not John Harper. He went to his cabin at 9 o'clock at night and put his daughter to sleep and was reading his Bible when the ship hit the iceberg.
When the ship hit the iceberg, he put his daughter, put a life preserve jacket on it, and put her in a lifeboat. He had a life jacket on, and he was preaching on the deck, women and children, and all unsaved people to the lifeboats. Women and children, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe, all women and children and unsaved people. Head to the lifeboat. A man came up to him, and the boats were filling up, and a man came up to him and started cussing him. You stupid preacher. How can you be kidding? And John Harper took his life jacket off and handed it to him and said, "Sir, you're lost. You're going to die and go to hell. You need this more than I do." All women and children and unsaved people to the lifeboats, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. As the boat went down into the waters, they said the water was so cold, if you were a strong person, it took 10 minutes for the blood to congeal and you eventually couldn't move. It took 10 minutes to drown. The water was so cold. And John Harper is swimming in between boats, moving, saying, "Are you saved? Are you saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And one of the young, it was a teenage boy in a lifeboat, and as John Harper passed it, he said, "Are you saved, son? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And the current caught him and separated him and brought him back around. And right before John Harper went under, he said, "Son, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior so you can be saved." And John Harper went under. That boy trusted Jesus as his Savior in the lifeboat. And when they got back and when the rescue was made, he's the one that put his testimony in the book, Hero of the Titanic, John Harper. He said, "I was John Harper's last convert. I'm the last man he led to Christ before he went to heaven." What an attitude towards death and life. I've been put here on this earth not for my pleasure, not for my comfort, not for my ease and normalcy bias that I think everything ought to have. I've been put here to serve God. And when I'm done, I want to go home. That was John Harper, the hero of the Titanic. I'm saved. I'm already on my way to heaven. I've been put here to... That mindset is so different from our society. I feel so sorry. I'm still seeing people. I went to Virginia a week ago or so. Still saw people in gas stations wearing masks. And I want to walk up to them and go, "Bless your heart. What are you scared of?" "Well, death." "Well, would you like to learn how to prepare to meet your God?" Amen. Getting saved is wonderfully simple, but boy, you know, they don't want your germs. "Please stop talking to me. Don't breathe my direction." Bunch of goofballs. Everything is, "I got to keep me from death." I understand. If you're lost, death is the worst thing that can happen to you. If you're saved, death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. God says to depart and be with Christ is far better. Far better. So with that in mind, he wasn't trying to get just him and his girl on a lifeboat. He was out to get people saved while the ship was going down. And that mindset, that Christianity, I think we need some of that. And so knowing here, Jesus said, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." Determined from this point on, I'm not going to allow myself to fear. What is fear? Fear is where you, whenever you meditate, you're always wondering what if. You and I are commanded not to fear. Well, what happens if a nuclear bomb hits Washington, D.C.? Well, what happens if, here's a good one. What happens if the nuclear, we got a nuclear electric plant up in, by the Benedict Bridge. You know, when you go over the Benedict, you see the big nuclear plant there. Well, what happens if the power goes out? That's going to melt down and all the nuclear stuff's going to be another Chernobyl. There's not supposed to be anything you fear. You're not supposed to allow yourself to fear. If you are, you're not trusting the Lord. Call a dog a dog. Call it what it is. "Well, I'm just a fearful person." Then you need to learn to trust God. Then you live as if there is no God. That's not Christianity. That's not hell. That's why in our prepared kit, in our spiritual preparation kit, I think you need to learn to trust God. Learning to trust. And it is learned. And it is hard. And it's not natural. But if I can recognize it, there's nothing that should be causing me to have an anxiety attack. There's nothing that should cause my blood pressure to raise if I'm trusting God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Most used verse in most used chapter at home goings. God's not everybody's shepherd. He's only your shepherd if you let him lead you. If you're the one doing the leading and things aren't going the way you think they should go and you're upset, then he's not your shepherd. And by the way, he can be your savior. Chapter 22, he can be your savior and not be your shepherd. For Jesus to lead you near the still waters and teach you how to be satisfied, that takes work. That's learned in the Christian life. Because there's a lot of distractions right now in society that they want you focusing on. Well, what about this? And what about this? And this could happen. And this could happen. Is God not in control? Does God not know where I am? Does God not know what's going on? Am I not God's child bought by the blood of the Lamb on my way to heaven, going to live with Him forever? Am I not the dwelling place of God? Like God told me? Then what are you worried about? Now, if you're lost, I don't know how you sleep at night. Amen. When you could die at any time, and then when the burning starts, it never stops. I honestly don't know how you sleep at night. When you could get saved so simply by trusting the one who died for you and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Learning to trust God, all the promises. How about this? In a spiritual prep kit for what's coming and what Jesus said, the perilous times and evil men's waxing worse and worse. How about this? How about learning to pray? And it's going to go along with this, but go to First Peter. Here, you know what? You're in Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 11 real quick before we depart to 1 Peter, okay? Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 11. After Jesus tells those in Smyrna, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Verse 11 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that is overcome shall not be hurt of the second death. What's the second death? That's hell. He that trusts Jesus as their Savior will never die and go to hell. You know what it says in Hebrews 7:16? It says Jesus had the power of an endless life. Do you realize if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, He said you have everlasting life. It's not when you die and go to heaven, you'll get everlasting life. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior this morning, Jesus said you have, present tense, right now, eternal life. I can't describe that to you. You say, what is eternal life? You have a life with God forever in heaven now. You're not waiting to get it. You say, what's that? What's the power of an endless life? You heard that song, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die. No, never. Jesus died on a cross for me. And I'm going to live forever. The power of an endless life. It's kind of like this. What are you going to do to me? The worst you can do, ready, is kill me. What a thought. Most don't think that way. But the power of an endless life. I know when this heart stops beating, I have an eternity with God in heaven because that's what's been promised in the Bible. So what's the worst you can do to me? Kill me? Well, then I go to be with the Lord. And there I'm forever in peace and that's worse. You know, when they threatened John R. Rice, you know, after the meeting, the guy in the back of the church met him and said, I'm going to kill you. And he had a big belly and here like this. And he put the gun barrel in his stomach and he said, I'm going to kill you. And John R. Rice said, you can't threaten me with heaven. Most don't think that way. Most think, oh my goodness, if we die. And I don't know any Christian that's loving the Lord, that's happy, that's suicidal. Amen? I don't know anybody that's longing for death, but to fear it God says the power of an endless life. That's what you're given when you're saved. Well, what happens if you know, it's supposed to rain tonight. What happens if you're on the road and your car loses traction and you slide and you hit another car and you... I'll go to heaven. Amen. Wasn't planning on it. Hope it doesn't happen. But you know what? If it does, amen. I got an insurance policy that's out of this world. That was funny. I wish you'd have heard that. Okay, watch this. So that was the power of an endless life, overcoming the second death. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Ready? In my spiritual prep kit, somebody said, are you prepared? Have you got beans, bullets, and Band-Aids, right? You know, the three B's, beans, bullets, and Band-Aids. You got those stored up in case, you know, whatever's happening. I'm all for, I like what one person said. I want the four B's. I want a Bible, beans, Band-Aids, and bullets. Because when stuff does happen, amen, I want to be used to the Lord. Because I hope there's people that will listen to God that could care less right now. Amen. I hope God's able to use me. And I hope that's your prayer also. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse number 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let me tell you if you've cast all your care on the Lord or not. Oh, yeah, Jesus says, oh, yeah, I pray all the time. Are you worried about anything? If you are, you haven't cast your care upon the Lord. What are you worried about? Then why don't you hit your knees, give it to God, say, God, you know where I'm at, and if you're saved, God, I'm your child. I'm forever on my way with you. You're living inside of me. God, you know what's going on. I'm not worried about... No, there shouldn't be anything that's stressing you. I love that. Or you have not prayed. Most people, when they pray, they talk to God this way. As if they're informing God. Oh, God, you know what's going on in Washington and, Lord, in America. And, Lord, this is taking place. And, Lord, in the stinking Ukraine. And, Lord, with China and all. God already knows what's going on. The word prayer means to ask, and you've not prayed until you've asked. But it's amazing when they talked with God, oh God, you know how this is going on. I was at a prayer meeting, and I won't tell you where it was at. But anyways, I stopped on my way back, and the pastor was a neat man. I'd never met him before. It's in the church, and there was six men there that night and two ladies for church, and it was a Wednesday night. They said, we're going to have a prayer meeting. And he preached, great message. Then they had a prayer meeting. And man, everybody in the church started praying one at a time, going around. And all it was, nobody was asking God anything. It was just, oh Lord, you know the turmoil. I think Israel was real close. You know the people that just died in Israel. And Lord, the beheading of the babies. And Lord, those Muslims. And I'm sitting there going, ask God something. I heard about four people pray. I couldn't stand it anymore. I got up and walked out. You say, you shouldn't do that. I can only handle so much of that. Prayer is you asking God, Lord, help me. Lord, please work here. Save this person. Lord, please help us. It's not informing God and letting everybody else in the church know how much news you know. It really sickened me in my stomach. And I'm not trying to offend you. Most people, when they pray, they don't ask God anything. They talk themselves into a frenzy. Lord, you know my neighbor is such a jerk. And Lord, why don't you ask God to save him? But it's all of this. It's all of this. Most people don't pray when they talk to the Lord. It's like they're telling God stuff He already knows. Cast your care upon Him. Why don't you take the things that scare you and the things that you're worried about and take lost people and pray for their salvation and ask God to move and ask God to help? That's prayer, not casting all your care upon Him. I'll say it again. You know how you can tell if you've prayed or not? If you're worried or not. And if there's anything that's bothering you right now, you haven't prayed. You haven't given it to your Heavenly Father. Well, I know, but this could happen, and this could happen. When does God kick in? Amen? When does God help you? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Learn to pray. Give your problems to the Lord. Another Bible term is pouring out your heart before the Lord. When do you do that? Learn to pray. It's something I think, look, as it doesn't matter what I see that's disturbing. If I'm thinking about it, I'm just like, Lord, I can't think about this right now. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't change anything, so please help me. Do you ever ask God for His mercy? You know what mercy is? God not giving us what we deserve. His mercy endureth forever.
Well, you mentioned the illegal aliens coming across in 15 million and 7 division of Chinese. And what's going to happen when they get that phone call? What's going to happen?
Do you ever ask God for His mercy? God, please be merciful. And Lord, if You'll help us, please, to keep serving You. And Lord, to be faithful. And Lord, no matter how rocky it gets, help us, please, to stay faithful to Your true word. Please give us mercy, oh my God. When do you ask God for mercy? That is casting your care upon Him. How about this? Here we go. Go to Psalm 37, a spiritual prepper's kit. Are you a spiritual prepper? Are you spiritually prepping for hard times? Psalm 37, verse 3. You know, if whatever war the government puts on Christianity, whatever we're facing in the future, I think one thing you ought to be working at is memorizing your Bible. If they took your Bible from you, how much do you have in your heart? I can't help but think about it. That Bloomberg report was kind of eye-opening. It was like, ooh, somebody that's lost said it's getting ready to get hard for churches in America. Well, wow, if the next pandemic hits and they lock down church, and we're not locking down. I'm not locking down for a stupid bird flu. Amen. I'm not doing that. We've got that. We've got the silver. And we need anything more, I'll ask Brother Eric. Amen. So, he's a pharmacist. He always laughs at that. I'm just saying, we're not locking down. And this next time when we don't lock down, if the pastors are going to jail, I pictured myself in a jail cell. Do I have enough Bible that I could sit there and praise the Lord like Paul and Silas did? Quoting scripture, if times are getting ready to get hard, then I would think in your spiritual prep kit, you should be memorizing scripture. What about verses on salvation? Amen. He that believeth on the Lord, the wrath of God abideth not on him. Right? I mean, we went through some things yesterday in soul winning. But prep, in other words, preparing my heart to stay faithful to the Lord. Look at Psalm 37, verse number 3. Psalm 37, verse 3 says here, trust in the Lord. And do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's a promise to those that trust God. Watch. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. There's that word again. And He shall bring it to pass, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Trusting in the Lord. Watch this. Go to Luke 18, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 8. And how come this is so important? I was going to look at some verses on trusting with you. And I know you could do that with a concordance. But look at Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Look at verse 7 and verse 8 is what I want you to see. Luke chapter 18 and look at verse 7. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? Watch this. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Watch. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? That's trusting God. Here's trust. Here's faith. Jesus said, when I come back, it's in the future, coming, will I find anybody that's trusting me? That's Jesus' worry.
Well, I got to take care of myself, and I got to make sure my bank account, I got to do all.
Will there be anybody trusting God's word? Jesus said, who has faith? Here's faith. Faith is never, well, I believe in God. Okay, I get it. We're in America. Everybody believes in God. Faith is how much do you believe the Bible that you let it affect your life? That's faith. How much can you trust what God said to guide you? That's faith. When the Son of Man cometh, will He find anybody that's doing that? That tells me this. You know what? I need to just work at doing what God's told me. God's told me to go to church. You say, you're the pastor. God's told me to go to church. God's told me to go soul winning. God's told me to pray. God's told me to read my Bible. I'll just focus on what God's told me to do. God's told me to love my wife. God's told me to support my family. God's told me to keep my eyes on Him. Faith enough to look at God's Word and say, I believe what God said enough to do what it says. I'll let this book shape my life and my priorities. And if God said do it, okay. That's faith. It's not some positive thinking. We'll just have faith that God will work it all out. Okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had faith. They said, our God's able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if not, we're still not bowing. They bound them, threw them into the furnace. And I think, I picture all three of them as the soldiers are pushing them towards the fire. I picture them going, can't wait till this day's over. You know, amen, they're talking to each other, you know. Ooh, it's going to hurt for a minute, and then we're going to be with Jesus. And little as they fell, then Nebuchadnezzar goes, didn't we throw three men in the fire? But I see a fourth, one like unto the Son of God. And with their hands loosed in that fire, can you imagine looking at Jesus? The flames, being in the flames and it not hurting you. That's just amazing to me. But they didn't go, they didn't say, you can throw us in the furnace if you want, but we won't burn. They didn't say that. They just said, we don't care if you throw us in the furnace or not. We ain't bowing. That's faith. It's not, well, just trust God and everything will work. What happens if everything doesn't work out? What was it 3 years ago? The missionary couple, the husband and wife that went down to South America? No, they went to Haiti. They went to Haiti. This was before the gangs were uprising. But Haiti's a pretty dark, I mean, it's voodoo, it's pretty heavy. They cut that couple in pieces in Haiti. And they were surrendered to the Lord, doing what God wanted them to do. What happens when everything doesn't go your way? Well, if I serve God, nothing bad will ever happen to me. I don't think so. Be careful. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. I want to be prepared in my heart to keep my eyes on the Lord and on His Word. So when the hard times do hit, I don't quit. I don't want to quit God. I'm just as prone. I hope I stay true. I hope I do. But I've never been in those times. Amen? I've never bled for God. I'm not looking forward to it. But I hope if I ever do, I stay true. Amen? I hope. Right? Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. One more thing, and we're going to close with this. You're in Luke chapter 18. Go to chapter 21. When Jesus teaches on the end of the world, it's the largest of his sermons that he gave. Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. Remember the disciples said, what's the sign of thy coming, and how are we going to know when these things will be, and what's the end of the world? One of the top prophecy lessons that Jesus gave. He gave us a lot of information. You know why? It was to prepare. And I just love looking at this. Watch this. Look at how Jesus is teaching the disciples. And I wish we could look at it more. But look at verse 28, and I'll read this. Watch this. And when I'm in Luke 21, 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, what he just taught on, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36 is what I want you to see. Watch this. Watch ye therefore. Look what Jesus said to pray. And pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. I'm going to close with this. In your spiritual preparation, kid, I can tell you what I'm working on. I want to pray, make sure that I want to. Do you pray and ever ask God to help you be faithful? That's what he said. Pray that you, when these things happen, you'll be worthy to miss them. It's just saying, can you be faithful? Do you ever say, God, Help me be faithful. Lord, help me be true. Help me be true to you. Brother Grady and I were talking. I said, Pastor Owens has always had a statement. He said, I just want to die faithful to the Lord. I just want a life where I stayed true to God. And he looked at me and he said, you're in the Marine Corps, Semper Fidelis. That's the Marine Corps motto, always faithful. I said, ooh, that's preaching. Amen. Always faithful. You can be always faithful to the Constitution, always faithful to the government. Can you be always faithful to the Bible? Can you pray and ask the Lord, Lord, when this comes to pass, help me to stay true to you? Do you ask God for faithfulness? This morning, ideas on a spiritual preparation kit so that I can withstand and be true with what's coming. I'll mention it again. If you're lost this morning, that's your greatest need. And I'll personally, I don't know how you sleep at night, knowing you could die at any time. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Please be careful, Christian. This is the day of God's mercy and God's grace, because after the rapture, when the tribulation starts, the whole playing field changes. 60% of the world will die. Billions of people. They said 1.3 million people a day. A day. Now is the time to get saved. Amen. Hey, let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Help us this morning. Lord, all that's happening in the world, none of it needs to occupy us or worry us. Father, if we'll just keep our eyes on you, thank you for your precious word. You told us, don't allow ourselves to fear. Please bless these people this morning. Help us, please, to walk with you and to love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. The piano's going to play. We'll have a short altar call.